Hello, and welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? A podcast dedicated to jokes failing and one man's quest to make them work by analyzing history, science, economics, and in this episode, jizz. Before we get started, a quick update for those of you that listen to my first podcast called Caesar Salad. Here's where the joke currently stands. It definitely still needs work, but I incorporated the General Tso Asian guy voice that I was debating about doing, and here we are.
I'll give you an example. People stress a lot about life. They're like, "Oh, I need money. I need a flat screen. I need a new car. I need a job that pays more money." None of that shit matters. I mean, look at Julius Caesar, right? Right? When I read about Julius Caesar, that's when everything changed in my life. Dude took over the whole world, or at the time, that's what they thought was the whole world. Greatest general in the world. Power, power. Julius Caesar, right? What does he get? What's his legacy? A salad. That's hilarious. That's all he got. It's not even a good salad. It's like lettuce and croutons. It's like, you want a Caesar salad? It's $1 extra. People are like, no, I don't care. Okay, there's another general in China from the 19th century, in General Tso. Accomplished very little, but as luck will have it, he got chicken. It's so good that at the mall, like crack dealers, they're like, "First one's free, try this." And they're like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "What is that?" They're like, "Oh, in the back of the General Tso." I'm like, "How do I get more?" They're like, "Follow me for General Tso."
It's getting there. Who knows where it will end up? Maybe eventually it'll be a song. Who knows? But that's an update. Because a lot of these jokes take a lot longer than a week, and that's what I try to allot myself per episode. Okay, onward. Today's episode is called Les Jizerabs, The Misery of Jizz. The problems with jizz. I just read the book Hatching Twitter this week by Nick Bilton, and it's about the founding of Twitter. It's a great book, highly recommend it. It reads like a Greek tragedy. You got friendship, love, betrayal. So intense. And I'm not going to ruin any plot lines because I've only been doing this a few weeks and you guys are already tweeting me about the fact that you're reading all these books that I'm recommending, which is really heartwarming and touching. And that's awesome that you guys are doing that because I won't recommend a bad book, I promise. So I'm not going to ruin anything about Hatching Twitter, but obviously there's a huge conflict. And what I kept thinking about was how can people not be happy when they get everything they want? You know, these people achieved way more than they ever thought they could, and it ends with like so much conflict. You know, and it's all about ego and sabotage and war and corporate war and all this stuff. And one thing that stuck out to me about that book. Because I like to think about what I think about the book before looking back and looking for quotes and stuff to share with you guys. And the thing that really stuck out to me about Twitter is the very core concept of what is a tweet. Is it about you? Like, what are you doing? Or is it about what is happening? What do you see around you? What are you doing? Like, are you having pizza? Or did you just see a bird shit on your car? And that sounds so trivial. You know, it just sounds so basic. And it created this giant war between these two dudes, these two founders of Twitter. It reminds me a lot of the Protestant Reformation, where if you ask somebody what's the fundamental difference between Catholicism and Protestantism, most people couldn't tell you. I mean, it goes back to Martin Luther. He wanted to reform the 95. He posted the 95 Theses where he wanted to reform the church and the sale of indulgences and all this stuff that isn't even happening anymore. So what's the main difference, you know? I mean, one says that God goes through the Pope, which goes through the priest, which goes to you. Protestant says you can have a direct connection to God or Jesus. And then if you look back at Judaism, like what's the difference between Judaism and Christianity? Not a lot. I mean, Jesus was Jewish and he died Jewish. And Christianity was basically just a nonviolent form of Judaism that was kind of reformed until Rome, you know, took it and changed it and all this stuff. But it's all so simple, and these huge wars can come out of these tiny little differences. And I that stuck out to me with Twitter. It's what are you doing versus what's happening around you. And okay, so the basic story of Twitter, one dude started a blogging site, like Blogger or something, got super rich. Another dude started a podcasting site, which tanked because Apple launched iTunes podcast, and they were friends. And so rich dude agrees to fund Twitter because this other dude, podcast dude, comes up with the basic ideas of it. But it's about what he's doing, you know, and then rich dude says, no, it's more about what's happening, because the biggest uptick in Twitter was an earthquake happened in San Francisco. And they saw people being like, did you feel that earthquake? And so rich dude is like, that's what Twitter is. And podcast failure dude is like, no, Twitter is about what I'm doing. And neither one could have done Twitter alone. Because status guy, the what am I doing guy, had the loneliness and emptiness to motivate himself to want to reach out to other people. Like that hole inside of him was necessary to motivate himself to make Twitter. And the other guy, I think, was just a little more able to see the big picture and how Twitter is more about what's happening. You know, like the revolution in Egypt and all these huge Twitter things are more about what's happening around you versus what you're doing. Okay, that's a long story short. At the same time, I'm reading a book called The Innovators by one of my favorite authors. I've talked about him in every podcast so far. Walter Isaacson, you know, he wrote The Jobs Bio, Ben Franklin, Einstein, all these. And now it's a book about the creation of the internet and personal computers, but he goes way back to the early 19th century with Ada Lovelace, who is Lord Byron's daughter, meshing poetry and industry and one of the first computers and all this crazy stuff. And I'm not going to get too into detail with that for the most part because I'm only a quarter through and it's really detailed. But basically, both these books are about how inventions don't come from one person, that no one is an island, basically. And that in that comes a lot of conflict, huge conflict, wars, you know, ego. And so why Les Miserables? Why jizz? First off, I like to sexualize topics because it makes them less intense and it makes them funny. I think men typically have an easier time making teams and working together than women. Or at least that's the stereotype in my mind. Starting to think that's not true, though. In sports, it's for sure true. But when I read these stories, it seems like women don't have the same amount of ego and rage that men do. And men can put together a team faster and play 60 minutes of football better than, you know, a lot of female teams work together. I just think that from my experience, men support alpha males more than women support alpha females. A lot of times, like in my first hour special, I did a bit about how if men see the fastest guy, they're like, oh, he's the fastest, let's make him captain. And women are like, she's the prettiest, let's tell everyone she has herpes. You know, about the whole undercutting of each other. But I think that's more short term. Because long term, I see a lot of problems that men have with ego. Like men are responsible for war, for sure. And they're more violent and they're crazier and scarier than women. You know, women probably are more, they undercut each other, like with long term passive aggressive shit. But a guy will like drop a bomb on somebody. And I think there's roots in basic biology. It's just balls versus ovaries, sperm, eggs, testosterone, estrogen. I'm not sure if I discussed this in one of my previous podcasts, but one of the main reasons I started obsessing about gender is my piano teacher got a sex change when I was 9. And most people go from male to female. She went female to male. And I saw the changes. I saw that this person became a different person with the introduction of testosterone. And it changed my whole life because she's was a genius as a woman and a man, taught me Bach when I was five, like unbelievable human being. But I saw she became more aggressive and less patient and more touchy and just intense with the absence of estrogen and the introduction of testosterone. And it's not that common that you get to see something that objective, the same person on a different hormone and watch them change. And at nine, I didn't really have that many preconceptions of people. You know, I was pretty simple and innocent. So I trust that. I trust that that is true. So I came across this story from my buddy Raf, who's a production designer from Ireland. And he was telling me at a bar about Captain Cook. So I researched it. And it's hilarious. It's a very funny example of the horrible effect jizz has on a man's brain. Jizz. So I took it to the stage, and here is attempt number one.
Today, Captain Cook discovers Hawaii, right? His men land there. They haven't seen women in months. They're like just full of jizz, you know, they're mopped up. And the native women, Hawaiians are beautiful women, just gorgeous women, right? And they've never seen iron. And the ship's full of iron. So the men are like, here, you want some iron? You show me your tits? And they're like, okay, and they start doing that, right? They start doing it so much that they start dismantling the ship. Right? They're like, do we really need these nails? Like, true story. So they're taking nails out of the ship, trading it for sex, trading it for sex. It gets to the point where the ship falls apart. They're now stranded in Hawaii because they sold all the nails to get sex. And I can't stop laughing, thinking about that moment. When there was like a nail holding the mast, and they're like, you definitely can't take that, right? And then he's like, did you see that chick though? It's like, yeah, dude, let's just die. Grab the nail. And then, okay, that's half the story. The other half is the women go home to their like husbands and boyfriends with all these nails, all, you know, and they're like, where'd you get that shit? And they're like, oh, these cool English dudes. And they're like, what are you talking about? What'd you do to get those nails? And they start getting pissed. So they take the nails, they make weapons out of them, and they attack the first guys. They're now getting killed with their own nails. It's basically just a jizz war.
All right, that was a bomb, guys. I mean, you'll hear laughs, but as I've said before, that's afterburn. Because I'm doing stuff that works really well, and I'm just doing really well on stage, and then I'll start doing the new stuff. And they'll laugh with me because they trust me, but that's not going well. And I know that should be funny, and I don't really understand why at this point. So the next show, I try it again. So before we start analyzing it, let's just see something that at least resembles a joke, that isn't just me rambling about bullshit. All right, here's attempt number two.
Captain Cook lands in Hawaii, and the Hawaiian women have never seen iron at the time. So what do the dudes obviously do with this? They start trading iron for sex, right? They're like, hey, that's a nail. And the chick's like, whoa. Yeah. You know, fuck, they give them the nail. True story. Okay, it keeps going until the ship starts falling apart. This is a true story. This is why I love history, because
All right, I don't even have to finish that one. I don't want to waste your time. The problem is there isn't the proper setup. At this point, I'm just like, hey, you guys want to hear a funny story about history? You know, people like the cool teacher in school, but at 10:30 p.m. at a comedy club when they, you know, just had dinner and drinks and want to laugh, it's not the best place. So I devised another idea that I set up the story with more jizz talk and start addressing war, an international war, and just male crazy shit before I even get into Captain Cook. So here is me trying to set it up with a concept of jizz in international politics.
I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, all those places to entertain the troops. And one thing I've noticed about really aggressive areas is they keep their women down. They cover them up, right? You can't even look at their neck. No, look at your neck. And so now I'm like, all right, I'll hit the phone, I'll have a wax session. You know, I'm sending building up, I need to have a wax session. So I like, type in some bookmarks and shit. And then the government pops on, it's like, squeals. It's like, you know, look at the boo. You can't tell me not to look at the boo, like, you know, look at the boo. But you can't look up porn in a lot of these countries. Like, not even breasts. They're like, no, breasts are bad. So now I'm just agitated. I'm like, fuck, man. The world's pretty fucked up, right? Like, you ever think about how fucked up everybody is? Right? It got to the point where I jerked off looking at two mountains. And at that point, I'm like, oh, it's okay, we're good. And then I realized that men can't be violent after sex. Like, after an orgasm, you can't be violent. Like, oh, fuck, someone can be like, someone's stealing your car. You're like, it's fine, my brother's. Like, yeah, just let it go. It's fine, he needs it more than me.
Okay, so that is going to shape up to be part one of Captain Cook. Because then I can talk about all kinds of stuff with jizz, with how jizzerable people get because of jizz. In that one, I talked about how a man can't commit a violent act after an orgasm. And I go on in other shows to talk about how to end war, you need full stomachs and empty balls. Someone said to me, but, you know, Genghis Khan and all these guys would fuck nonstop. And I think that there has to be, it has to be said that there's a huge difference between rape and sex, or even rape and masturbating. Like these, like Genghis Khan and all those guys would rape women constantly. And that's a warlike action. That's not what I'm referring to here. That's really obviously very fucked up. And I'm talking about when someone has a balanced relationship with women, they're less likely to be full of rage for no reason. I also want to incorporate the idea that there's always going to be psychopaths. And you know you're a psychopath if you have an orgasm and you're still mad. Where you're like, oh, that feels so good. Oh. And then you're still like, these damn whatever, liberals or Republicans or fucking whatever makes you mad. If you still feel that way after a meal and sex, then that means you're psychotic. But typically in society, those people just end up working at the DMV. They don't become leaders of a nation state. Like Adolf Hitler is the perfect example of a really angry after orgasm and sandwich guy who gets an army. To get an army, you need the mass amount of people to be hungry, whether it's for a sandwich or their balls are just full of jizz, so they're making really bad decisions. Jizz clouds the mind. So that's what I'm trying to get to with Captain Cook, where males that don't have a good relationship with sex, be it masturbation or lovemaking, not talking about aggressive Genghis Khan rape villager bullshit. I'm talking about like sensual good release. If you have enough food and release, you usually make really good decisions in your life. And if you don't, you end up really fucked. So here's another shot. And yeah, that's a true story, by the way. I did a USO tour with the Sullivan and Son guys, and you can't look at porn over there. That when you subjugate women, when you take away, and I don't mean porn like backroom facials, bang bus bullshit. I mean like you can't look at a woman's body. In public, you can't see their neck. You know, they're not allowed to vote, all this shit. And that keeps guys really agitated. And agitated men are capable of violence. Okay, but my job isn't to make huge statements about world politics. I'm here to make people fucking laugh. So I'm trying to figure this out. Bear in mind, this isn't my whole show. Most of my show, I talk about, you know, car horns and dogs and play piano. I'm just trying to make this something like that so it doesn't sound like I'm on C-SPAN. All right, here's another shot.
People always talk a big game about peace. No war. I'll tell you the answer. It's full stomachs and empty balls. I've been to the Middle East. I've entertained the troops in Afghanistan, Iraq, and shit. One thing you'll notice over there, they don't let you look at chicks. They like to keep you wound up, right? You go over there, they cover women, they cover their necks. Because I don't even need to have sex. Just looking at a neck is fine for me. I'm like, good, I'm good. I feel comfortable. Right? You don't need to fuck. You just need to feel like you're in a world with women. They'll cover them all up. And then you go online to like look at a boob. You're like, Google boob. And the government pops up and squiggles. It's like, no, you don't look at the boob. They won't let you look at naked women online. You don't think there's a reason for that? A little fucking mind control? Where you're just like all wound up. You're like, meh. So you're looking up other shit, squiggles. No, you don't look at that either. Oh, you getting angry? At one point, I jerked off looking at two mountains in the desert. I was just like, ah! And then I felt great. I was like, oh, we're brothers. No, they're cool. They're cool. It's all good. Machete? No, it's fine. We can hang out.
Okay, that happens sometimes. That's the first time we'll be addressing this issue, when something actually works less than the time before. So I come up with this idea. I do it that time. It sounds to me like I'm just rushing it. I butcher the punchline. It should be I jerked off to two mountains, should be the punchline, not jerked off to two mountains. I was like, I just sound like an idiot. So sometimes you'll get a laugh and then do it again and it won't work later. It's not always a straight line. Sometimes it's two steps forward, fucking eight steps back, because that sucked. But you get the idea. I'm trying to set up jizz destruction. Yeah. Okay. Here's another shot.
Bad group of people. It's generational. Who's hungry? I also learned this from going to the Middle East to entertain the troops. Been out over there a bunch of times, and I've noticed something, that they cover their women up, and they make sure that the guys come full balls at all times. It's very impressive. If people start taking away rights from women, shit's coming. Like, bad shit's coming. Because balls are just killing. And I know this because I was over there, and I was like, looking at girls, and they're all just covered.
Kind of getting there. I don't love it, but it's getting there. Just trying to get to this Captain fucking Cook story. It does start working eventually, but I don't know. I don't think people just react weird when you start talking about the Middle East, because they think that, I don't know what the problem is. But I feel like my message is good, because I'm basically saying that it's cultural, not anything else. That it's about when you subjugate women, you end up making your area really hostile. Because it's not money. I mean, Norway makes more money per capita on fossil fuels than Saudi Arabia. And they're like super liberal with women, and they haven't been to war in like 500 years. So I just think there's a major correlation between female rights and war. Because when guys get really horny and there's no place for them to express them their jizz, they just start fucking punching people. Okay, here's another shot with Captain Cook.
Like Captain Cook, when he landed in Hawaii, I'll just do one history thing and then I'll stop, because I know it's not everyone's favorite thing, but it's fuck, you can't make this shit up, okay? So Captain Cook and his boat, full of dudes with full balls. They're really agitated, horny. You know, they're fucking monsters, right? And the local women had never seen iron. right? And there's iron in the ships, there's nails in the ships. So the dudes would be like, you like this? And they'd be like, oh, this is a nail. And then you're like, mm. And then they'd give them sex for the nails, right? And this worked great for a while. These dudes are like, guys, fucking, it's a great exchange. These chicks go, we'll drain your balls for a nail, right? And it's all true. And so they kept doing this until the boat started falling apart. This is how dumb men are with full balls. They're so fucking stupid. All right. So the boat starts falling apart to the point where you can't sail it anymore. And I want to know that one moment when that guy had a choice, where the mast is about to fall over. He's like, you think we need that now? And he's like, yeah. He's like, fuck, man. Fuck it. And he took the nail. The boat falls apart. He gets sex, right? Then what happens? Those girls all have guys at home, these Hawaiian dudes. They're like, what is that nail? And they're like, I don't know. And he's like, who fucking gave you that? And so they get pissed when they find out it's the English guys, Captain Cook's crew, and they make weapons out of it and they start killing the other guys. So that which got them sex, ruined their boat, ended up shipwrecking them, and then fucking getting them murdered. And they, even while it was happening, they were probably like, still a good call. I do not regret that call. I'm still fine with that decision.
There we go. Starting to work. Because I didn't replay you all the Middle East stuff before it. But now they're starting to, like, with that backstory, the Captain Cook story is funny. Because it's an example of people making bad decisions. Yeah, it makes me laugh. Who knows if we keep it? I have no idea. I think it makes me laugh because I like history. I think it takes centuries before you can even comment on something because you have no idea what's going to happen. Like I'm reading a book right now. I won't even be able to get the author. I don't know because it's on my phone. I'm recording this on my phone. But it's called Blockbuster. It's good. It's about marketing movies. But I think that the movie system and entertainment changes so fast that that book, who knows if it's even going to be relevant in 5 years. But it's relevant now, and it's really fascinating how spending huge, you know, Warner Brothers and this guy named Horn would spend huge amounts of money on 4 or 5 movies a year, and that just crushed. You make a lot more per dollar if you spend like $200 million on a movie. You know, he did Harry Potter and Dark Knight and all this stuff. And to do $20, $30 million movies apparently doesn't make as much money. And she went on to give examples in sports and all these other things. And it's fascinating, but is it going to be right in 5 years? Because I just read another book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. I don't know if that's the right word. But I quit halfway through because although it was fascinating, a lot of the laws talked about how companies should focus on one thing. And if they start diversifying and doing too many things, it waters down their brand and then everything falls apart. And it was written before Apple did their shit. And that's exactly what Apple did. And they're now the most profitable profitable company in the world. I mean, they made computers and they distributed music. Then they made apps. Then they like got into TV and film distribution. I mean, Apple, it couldn't have been more opposite. They got into the retail business. They bought Beats headphones. Just couldn't have been different. Like it was this, like the whole book was basically saying, if you make beer, only make beer. And Apple came along and said, no, we're going to do exactly the opposite and crush. So, and the book was great. Up until Apple, it made perfect sense. If you're going to be a domestic beer or an imported German beer, be Heineken, be first, and just stick with that and you'll make it forever. Yeah, and then like reading it now, years later, you're like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Everything changes way too fast. So that's why I like shit that's like 200 years old, because it's not going to change. The jizz and Captain Cook's men's balls affected them the same way that dudes today, when you see them wearing Ed Hardy bedazzled t-shirts or driving a Ferrari when they live at home, just horrible decisions based on full balls. And everyone, I live in Los Angeles, so I constantly see Priuses with "War is not the answer" bumper stickers. And people will say, "War is not the answer," but no one gives an answer. Everyone just says, "What isn't the answer?" I have an answer. Full stomachs, empty balls. It may be vulgar and it may be silly, but I think that at least it's something. I think that too many people just say what shouldn't be without saying, you know, men are task oriented. Give them a task. Tell them what to do so that they don't do dumb shit. Consistently have wax sessions. Keep the balls drained. Hundreds of millions of sperm are in there, pressed against your balls, screaming like prisoners trying to see the sun. And they know they're going to die. Women have one egg a month. It just kind of sits there and just chills. It's a lot more relaxed, a lot more capable of having meetings and discussions. The balls are like the tenement buildings where, you know, Jay-Z's from, like Bane, where it's like, get me out of here. I'll do anything. I'll sell crack and shoot my brother. You know? And the desperation of jizz affects world history. That is why men should have very comfortable and peaceful relationships with women, so they don't do really dumb shit. So they don't trade their nails of their ship for sex until they have no ship and they fucking die. This has been a slightly more aggressive episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? Partially because this joke clearly isn't finished, and I prefer it when it ends. But I guess none of it really ends. I mean, I just rewatched my hour special, High Five Till It Hurts, which you can get on ComedyCentral.com. And there's jokes in there that I've changed since I recorded that. So nothing really, it's not like a song where it's just, that's it. Like, jokes are always kind of changing a little bit, and nothing's really set in stone. But they do grow, and I'm glad you're with me on this journey. They grow. And feel free to tweet me at Owen Benjamin on Facebook, Owen Benjamin Comedy. And let me know what you think about any of this stuff, because I like collaborating a lot. I don't have a big ego when it comes to comedy. If you have an idea, one of my best friends, Roy Wood Jr., came up with in a Walgreens. I do a song called Over the Pants Hand Job, OTPHJ. And he came up with In a Walgreens. And that, I think, made the song. And if I was proud and like some of these Twitter guys, and I was like, fuck you, it doesn't have to be in a Walgreens. And then I just made it like in a Rite Aid or a CVS. I would have been an asshole and it wouldn't have worked as well. I mean, it's not even that he came up with Walgreens. He came up with the whole concept of getting an over the pants hand job at a drugstore at the blood pressure machine. And I play that to a Coldplay song and it's super emotional. You can see that my next hour special is called Huge Pianist, and that's coming out soon. But yeah, I mean, that's what I always loved about Steve Byrne and Roy Wood Jr. and Amedamed and the people I worked with on Sullivan and Son. They absolutely put their egos at the door, and we help each other and we add to each other's jokes. And I miss that. I miss them a lot. I miss being on the road with them. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast, because I'm reaching out to just have that comedy community again. So if you want to be part of my comedy community, just tweet me or Facebook me. And that's where it's at. You know, you're nothing by yourself. It's all about having a tribe. Sartre, who came up with existentialism, and of course, existentialism, of course, you don't need to know what the fuck it is. It's stupid. But existentialism is a French philosophy that hell is other people, that you are an island, that you are on your own. Sartre had this famous picture of him on an iceberg, him alone, him against the universe, just him. And I remember as a little kid, I said, who took the picture? And my parents being erudite college professors laughed really hard and they thought that was really funny, but I was dead serious. I'm like, if you're alone in this world, who took the fucking picture? Proving that he's not alone and he's full of shit. So we're not icebergs. We're not alone. And we need each other to write and to create. And don't squabble over dumb things like the Twitter people, because the Twitter people are billionaires and they can't grow old together talking about the good old days and just be happy, because they're fighting over who came up with what. You got to read Hatching Twitter. It's phenomenal. And the dude wrote back to me on Twitter, which I thought was cool. The author, I just tweeted that I liked the book, and he wrote like thanks or some shit, which I always think is cool. So check that out. And of course, everything by Walter Isaacson, but he's very detail oriented. So it's not the easiest reads, but it's still awesome. All right. This has been an episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? And we covered the misery of jizz, Les Miserables. All right. Until next time. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.